Hello, I'm Terry Cheat. You're listening to Crisis and Concern for January 13, 2017. Welcome to a program that addresses current events and their solutions as found within God's Word. Call your family, friends, and church members. Tell them the latest Crisis and Concern podcast is posted for immediate download at theinspiringword.org, and we're also available on iTunes as the Inspiring Word Podcast. On today's program, we're going to discuss an article that has came out that reignites, or actually it reveals, that the entire LGBT assault on Christianity and on Christian principles has never died. It has just simply by the media been placed on the back burner. And we know how famous the mainstream media is for doing things like that. In order to keep them out of your eye, put the little insignificant things in front of you and leave the most important and most compelling things on the back burner out of sight, out of mind. Well, an article has broken that speaks of evangelical leaders rejecting a compromise on LGBT and religious rights. I want to go to a piece of scripture right now. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to read verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, Paul says, but ye were washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. At stake at this meeting is the SOGI dispute, where state, local, and federal laws that govern religious institutions or businesses that are owned by people of faith and whether they must serve LGBT individuals despite their convictions on sexuality and gender. Now, this is a very interesting meeting that's taking place. I believe it's at Yale University where these are being discussed. And a format has been brought out where there was wanting to be a compromise between evangelical Christians and evangelical leaders and those who supported the LGBT movement and religious rights. But what strikes me very, very harshly with this is, coming out of our recent election, we witnessed how the clothiers and those who work with the fashioning of the First Lady and the President and the outgoing First Lady, Michelle Obama, her people who were working with her fashions just spoken outright and denied to work with and refused to work with the incoming First Lady, just simply because they disagreed with the political beliefs of the Trumps. Now, why is that acceptable legally? And the reality of a religious-owned business, someone of faith who says, I cannot serve someone who is LGBT because I disagree with them on morals. Where is that not a double standard? Why do we even have to have this discussion? Why in America in the 21st century do we even have to have this discussion? This is not about, it isn't about discrimination, it isn't about hate, it isn't about bigotry, it isn't about anything, it is about convictions of an individual. If someone has the legal right to deny services or goods based upon political differences, then there is no reason why someone cannot deny goods or services based upon religious convictions. We cannot have a double standard of these things. And that is exactly what the media, and that is exactly what the LGBT groups are wanting. They are wanting to silence Christianity. They are wanting to silence evangelical voices in the evangelical community. And they're wanting to do it by compromise. They are wanting Christians to compromise. Well, presidents and professors from 16 member schools and affiliates of those schools are among those that have signed declaring any ostensible protections for religious liberty appended to such laws are inherently inadequate and unstable. In other words, any of the protections that have been offered for religious liberty that extend to any laws that have already been enforced against Christians or against faith-based businesses, they are inadequate and they are unstable and they are unacceptable to the presidents and the professors and the Christian community who represented the evangelicals. And I applaud them for that. Well, who were and who are these people? Well, the Gospel Coalition President, D.A. Carson, Focus on the Family President, Jim Daly, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School President, David S. Dockery, and First Things Editor, R.R. Reno, are a few. Now, here are some others. Southern Baptist leaders signed into this as well. Russell Moore, Al Mohler, President of Southern Seminary, Fred Luter, a former Southern Baptist president, and Paige Patterson, also a former Southern Baptist president, and Paige is also the president of Southwestern Seminary. So some very prominent Southern Baptists are there signing into this also. And they're saying, we will not accept this kind of compromise. We will not do it. Opponents of the Fairness for Legislation worry that compromises offer limited, if any, protection at the expense of designating the SOGI as a protected class. Now, the SOGI, we are talking about the transgender groups. The transgender groups are wanting to be a protected class of citizen. And they're wanting a compromise with evangelicals where they will be allowed and permitted to be in evangelical schools and evangelical seminaries and be able to be treated equally with those of the natural gender. In other words, they want to be able to go, transgender wants to be able to go to a Christian seminary and take school, take education, or a Christian university and take educational training and bring, and not be denied because they are transgender. And that means that they would be forced, the school would be forced or would be in agreement, if it's a compromise, to meet the needs, to let the boys go in the girls' restrooms, the girls go in the boys' restrooms, the locker rooms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it would also take evangelicals to the point of, at this aspect, of having to say that transgendered women into men would be ordained into offices of the church, such as pastors. And if that would be the case, then the next logical argument that would come out of this from the liberal community would be, if that's the case, then you can't do that and still exclude women based upon the scriptural organization. So this thing is just going to the scriptural background and scriptural foundation. This thing is just escalating. It is snowballing. Well, the Heritage Foundation, and I'm sure you're familiar with them, and research fellow Ryan Anderson, along with some others, released a statement on their feelings. The SOGI policies attempt to impose by force of law a system of orthodoxy with respect to human sexuality. The belief that marriage is merely a union of consenting adults, regardless of biology, is that, and that one can be made male or female or none or both again and again, regardless of biology. In other words, you can be today what you get out of bed feeling like being. If you get out of bed feeling like a girl, you can be a girl, or a boy, you can be a boy. Or if you don't feel like being neither one today, you don't have to be neither one, and the law will protect you because you are a consenting adult. The SOGI laws impose this orthodoxy by punishing dissent and by treating as irrational the beliefs that men and women are biologically rooted and made for each other in marriage. In other words, what the Heritage Foundation spokesperson is very eloquently saying is that the SOGI laws are wanting to remove the biblical standard of marriage and male and female, and male and female sexuality. Well, the Colson Center has a position on this as well. We have seen in particular how these laws are used by the government in an attempt to compel citizens to sacrifice their deepest convictions on marriage and on what it means to be male and female. People who serve everyone, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity, but who cannot promote messages, engage in an expression, or participate in events that contradict their beliefs or their organization's guiding values. The Colson Center is taking a statement where they're saying the government is enacting and enforcing a double standard, which we've already discussed. It is a matter of biblical precedence. It is a matter of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and there are many others out there as well. It is a matter of understanding that sexual sin, unrepented, will not be tolerated by God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate. Fornicators, adulterers, or effeminate. Effeminate. LGBT. SOGI. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. LGBT. SOGI. It isn't about picking them out or belittling them or being a bigot over them or hating them. It is about telling them that the lifestyle that they're choosing to live is considered sin. That's why Paul goes on in verse 11, and such were some of you. So this is not something new to the 21st century. This behavior has been going on and has been in the hearts of man for centuries. Paul goes on to say, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There is salvation. And not just for the sexual sin. There is idolatry. There is thieving. There is covetousness. There's drunkards. There's rivalers. There's extortioners. The list is on and on. The point is not just singling out one sin or one sinner. The point is sin will take you to an eternal hell. And it is only by the blood of Jesus Christ that you will find redemption from it. And that is something the church needs to be holding on to today. We need to be clinging to Jesus and to the Word of God stronger and mightier than we have ever done in the history of the church. It is getting close. We are closing in on the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. And we need to be proclaiming the message of saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone to a lost and dying world. We need to be loving these people. We don't need to be pushing them away. We need to be extending a hand out to bring them to the gospel and to present the gospel to them. Folks, I hope this broadcast has been a blessing to your walk with the Lord. Our desire is to reach as many people as possible, and to accomplish this, we do need your help. We need your help by sharing our podcast and our website with others. Will you help us share God's Word around the world? Will you help us by telling others about the inspiring Word? Will you help us by reading the Blue Ridge Christian News, by visiting theinspiringword.org, or by listening through iTunes as the Inspiring Word podcast. We would greatly appreciate your cooperation, your helping to share this. We also desire your prayers. And I want to thank you. And until next time, may God keep you firmly in His grip.